We will sing the first and the last hymn of this, the first and last verse of this hymn, 565. Let us sing.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I root him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I've learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him.
Let us bow. Our Father who are in heaven, we want to begin this day, this first day of the week, to begin this prayer by giving honor to whom honor is due, giving honor to our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thanking you, Father, for you loved us so much that you allowed him to go to the cruel cross of Calvary and to be crucified, to shed his precious blood for the remission of our sins. Giving us this opportunity, Father, on this first day of the week to have another invitation to salvation. We thank you, Father, for one another, for this fellowship that we have where we can come together and to greet each other with a smile and a handshake and to tell each other how much we love one another. To thank you, Father, for the best of health that we have and the strength that you give us day by day, Father. And we pray, Father, for your patience, that you continue, Lord, to tolerate this wicked world and the things that goes on every day, Father. We just thank you for your patience. We want to pray, Father, at this time for the Freeman family and the Gatlin family upon the loss of their loved ones. We know sometime, Father, that when we lose loved ones, our hearts become heavy laden. At this time, Father, we ask and pray that they'll seek thee for comfort, and that you'll give them the strength and the courage to endure. Father, we want to extend this heartfelt prayer to all of the precious souls that we have on our prayer list. We are so grateful to know, Father, that you are an all-knowing Father, and you listen to each and everyone's prayer. And we have the assurance, Father, that when they reach out to you, that you can give them the comfort and the assurance that everything is going to be all right. And at this time, Father, we want to pray for our country, and we pray, Father, that you'll give them the wisdom to reach out, Father, and to do what is right and what is in the best interest of all of mankind. And Father, as we enter into this worship service this morning, we pray that all that we say and all that we do will find favor in thy sight. For it is in Jesus' name we praise you. We give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Taking of the Lord's Supper this morning. If you would please, continue your hymn books in hymn number 111, 111. Sing all of this hymn, 111. Let us sing.
Deeper than the ocean. Father,
As we can read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, we read of Jesus' willingness to give his life on that cross. And we really have to take this time to reflect on that. You know, Jesus knew all the pain and suffering he was going to endure. He knew all the humiliation that he was going to have to endure. And even though he had the power to save himself, he was still willing to give his life. You know, he even asked for those that were putting him to death, for them to be forgiven. And he was giving his life for this world, for each and every one of us, for a world that was still yet full of sinners. So as we prepare ourselves and prepare our minds to partake of this Lord's Supper, let us keep that in mind. As we have the two emblems, we have the bread, which represents his body, and we have the fruit of the vine, which represents his blood. So at this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're thankful unto you, Heavenly Father. Thankful unto you for allowing us to come together with our fellow brothers, sisters in Christ, Heavenly Father, to be able to come together and partake of this bread, Heavenly Father, the bread that represents thy son's body, Heavenly Father. To be able to share in this moment, Heavenly Father, to reflect back on that sacrifice thy son Jesus made on our behalf, to just show our gratitude, to show how thankful we are for the love that he showed for each and every one of us, Heavenly Father. And we just pray that, Heavenly Father, as we partake of this bread, that we'll do so in a manner that it'll be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy son Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's continue. Dear Father, we thank you for your son Jesus and his great sacrifice, the shedding of his blood, that we may have our sins forgiven and that we may have a home with thee. Help us, dear Father, as we take this cup to think about its importance, think about the meaning that it has for us every day of our lives. For we ask in Christ Jesus' name, amen.
If anyone has been overlooked during the partaking of the Lord's Supper, if you raise your hand. Seeing no hands, we have another portion of our worship service, which is giving. Now, this is an opportunity for us to give back cheerfully, to give back with joy in our hearts, so we know all that our Heavenly Father does for us. You know, He's been there with us since the day we were born, and He brings us through so much. So let us keep that in mind as we prepare to give back. Most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're indeed thankful unto you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for guiding us, for being that solid rock in our lives, Heavenly Father. For all the joy that you give to us, Heavenly Father. For the comfort you provide us during our times of sorrow. For giving us the strength, the willingness to go out and to provide for our loved ones, Heavenly Father. We thankful for you, Heavenly Father, for bringing us through this pandemic, Heavenly Father, keeping us healthy, for watching over those that have suffered, that have become sick, watching over those families that have lost loved ones, Heavenly Father. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that as we prepare to give back, we pray that we give back in a manner that will be pleasing and in accordance to thy will, Heavenly Father. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would please, mark the hymn books in hymn number 885. 885 would be the song of invitation this morning. 885. After marking that hymn, if you would please, bring your hymn books to hymn number 191. 191. We will sing the first and last verse of this hymn, and I will ask all those who can easily stand to stand at this time. 191. Let us sing.
All day long, in Jesus I am singing. He's my song, of joy will ever be. All the while, He keeps my heart from singing. He's my love, He's everything to me. He's my King, and oh, I dearly love Him. He's my King, no other is above Him. All day long, in rapture praise I sing. He's my Savior, He's my King. In His light, I'm going home to glory with the song. too great I sing. He's my Savior, he's my King. Oh, he's my King, and oh, I dearly love him. He's my King, no other is above him. All day long, in raptured praise I sing. He's my Savior, he's my King.
The sermon title of this morning's lesson will be, Who Do You Trust? And the scripture reading is taken from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Again, it's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I have the New King James translation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Brother Norman.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Truly, God has once again been good to us. He's spared our lives just one more time to be able to come. To assemble ourselves together on this morning. It's good to see those who are here this morning, and if you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guests. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Eternal Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this day and for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that you have given us to assemble ourselves together on this morning. Lord, we just thank you for those who have taken part in our service thus far. And now, Father, as we're about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word, what it has to say to us in our situation. Lord, at the conclusion of this mess, there be things that we've fallen short of. Give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Guide me your word, the things that I say, Lord, you get all the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Who do you trust? We have trusted many people, and we have trusted many things. When you look on the personal nature, we often trust our families. We have trusted our friends. But then you look on the public nature. We have trusted our transportation services. We've trusted our national security services. We've trusted our military services. But what do all of these things have in common? Sometimes they fail our trust. We have all felt the disastrous results of failed trust within our families, even with our friends. Confidence are shattered, tears are shed, feelings are hurt, trust is damaged, and bitterness often grows. We have witnessed the devastating results of national failure. Security was breached. Planes were hijacked and used like missiles. Like lives were lost in the thousands. Our nation is shaken. Our nation is stunned. Insecurity rises and fear grows. But in time like these, who do you trust? Do you trust God? when the scripture, it gives us numerous examples of people trusting God. Abraham being told to sacrifice his son. Moses crossing the Red Sea. Gideon downsizing his army. David fighting the giant Philistine. But the question still remains, who do you trust? It's easy to give this question lip service and say, I trust God. And we really do. But sometimes, many times, it's only with our minds, because our action may not show the kind of trust that Jesus is asking for. Because many times you and I have seen, we have seen things that God can do firsthand. Many of us here this morning have witnessed his healing hands. Many of us have seen firsthand how God can provide a way out of no way. We have seen God meet our needs in time of trouble, in time of trials. We have seen how his word has convicted even the strongest personalities and made these people Christian, but still we doubt God. And so as we look at this passage this morning, we want to consider why we should trust God. Number one, I suggest to you, is that God demands our faith. God demands our faith. Look at Proverbs 3 and verse 5. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. To trust in God with all of our heart is something much easier discussed than carried out. Webster defines trust as belief that someone or something is reliable, honest, effective. But trust is found in our unswerving belief that the God of heaven will indeed work on our behalf to bring his perfect will into our lives and into our beings. Trust here, when you look at this passage, when you look at the word trust here in Proverbs 3 and verse number 5, what we find trust here is a Hebrew word which means to put all of your weight. In other words, it would be like when you go to bed tonight and you lie down trusting that that bed will fully support your weight. I'm saying that when you put your trust in God, you put all of your weight on him. It means to confide completely in God's direction. It confide completely in God's will for your lives, to rise above our worries, to rise above our fears, to rise above our doubts, and do as we know God will have us to do. Trusting in God with all your heart simply means letting go. Letting go, it means we'll be happy with God's direction for our lives. Wherever it may take us, we will be committed to his will, and we will accept the direction he provides without doubt, without fear, and without worrying. Trust God with all your heart. We must hold nothing back. We must surrender to him all that we are, all that we have, all that we may become, because without the presence, without the guidance of God, we will go nowhere. God wants you to trust him, even when you don't understand. God wants you to trust him when life just doesn't make any sense. God wants us to follow him when the future seems uncertain. And it's only when we completely trust God that he gives us the power of his direction and the power of his presence. So in your heart, you have to answer the question. And that question is God trustworthy? We need to ask ourselves a question. Are you willing to let God guide your life? But did you ever ask yourself, why don't you give God your complete trust? Have you asked yourself, have he ever given you a reason not to trust him? I believe that God is trustworthy. I believe that every day that we live, God is doing something in our lives. And so we need to understand this morning that number one, God demands our faith. Secondly, we need to understand God defines our focus. Not only does he demand our faith, but he defines our focus. Look at the latter part of verse 5. When he says, and lean not unto your own understanding. When you lean on your own understanding, you lose focus. And far too often in life, we become completely focused on the trial and the difficulties of life, that we lose focus on Christ and on God. And God can get us through the most impossible situation, but we got to keep our focus on him, and we got to trust in him. How can we ever expect to find help and healing when we are still focused on our difficulties and not our deliverance? Our own understanding is limited, it's fallible, and is subject to error. To lean on our own understanding rather than to trust God magnifies the human mind against the ability of the Spirit of God. Dependency on human reason rather than trusting God, it leads to pride. It leads to spiritual deception or depreciation. And we sometimes think that it would be easier if we take things into our own hands and handle it in our own way. I'm here to tell you this morning, nobody ever said that having faith in God would be easy. But leaning on him is the best thing to do. Why is it the best thing to do? Because number one, God knows all things better than we do. God knows everything that we go through at this very moment and everything that we're going to go through in the future. He knows the best way to handle every situation so that we can get the best possible outcome. We need to trust him with that, and we need to follow his path and trust that he knows what's best, because he does. But then not only God knows all things better than we do, we need to understand God can do all things and he is not limited as we are. He knows the desires of your heart. If you trust in him with the things that you want most, he'll take care of it. God can do all things. He has your back and will help you through anything. All you got to do is just have faith in God. Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. Yes, God knows all things better than we do. God can do all things, and he is not limited as we are. But then God is dependable, and he's trustworthy. God never fails in his word, and he never fails in his promises. And when we depend on him, we can never be disappointed. You read sometimes Psalms 37 and verse number 3 through verse number 6. So God knows all things better than we do. God can do all things, and he's not limited as we are. God is dependable and trustworthy, but then God has the best plan and will do it in his way and on his time. God knows exactly what he wants for your life. He has a purpose, and you understand that he has everything planned out for you and I. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse number 11. So he knows what you're going to do today. He knows what you're going to do tomorrow. He knows what you're going to do next month and next in the years down the road. Don't doubt his plan, because he knows all and he has a perfect plan. So you need to ask yourself a question. Am I going to trust God, or am I going to lean on my own understanding? So understand, number one, God demands our faith. Number two, God defines our focus. But then thirdly, God determines our future. Look at verse 6. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. When you look at the word acknowledge, or acknowledge him, this is a Hebrew word for a knowledge which means to see him. In other words, so in everything, what we need to do is that we need to look for his guidance. Acknowledge him. Always keep God in mind. Always mean in your marriage, in your family. Always mean see him in your recreation and your vocation. Always mean see him in your finances. Always mean from the time you get out of bed all through the day, you look for Almighty God. So what would he want you to do? How would he handle the situation that you might be in at a particular time? How would our lives be changed, church, if we would see what he wants in all aspects of our lives? And when we acknowledge him, when you do your part by bringing things to him, then he will do his part, which is he'll direct your path. This is a conditional promise. He will not force us to make the right decisions, because he created us with free will. We bring it to him, and then in his, not yours, in his own time, he will direct our path. So you got to learn how to trust him. And so this morning, as we prepare to give the invitation this morning, I invite you this morning to truly take a moment and ask yourself, where do you stand with God? Do you really trust God? Do you trust Him enough to obey and do what He says? Jesus paid the price for all of us. The Bible says that we must hear the message before we can believe. Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And once we hear it, then we believe it with all of our hearts, not just the mind. If you're here this morning and you heard and you believe, then you need to repent of your sins. Luke 13, 3 and 5. Then you confess with your mouth and come forward this morning and make a public confession that just like all of us, we are sinners in need of a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ, God's Son, who died for all of us. Then the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2, when the people were pricked to their heart and asked, what must they do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of your sin. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so are you here this morning? Are you here this morning and you need to walk this path? You need to receive this free gift? Are you here this morning and you have been less than what God wants you to be? You haven't trusted God like you should. You haven't been living like God wants you to live. And if there's something that is heavy on your heart and you just need to come forward to lift those burdens, because Jesus can handle it. And I'm here to tell you this morning, don't focus. Don't focus on what others think. Don't focus on what others say, because it's not about them. We all have faults. We all have shortcomings. I'm no better than you are. You are no better than I am. Because all of us have sinned. All of us have come short of the glory of God. We shouldn't be looking at other folk. We need to be looking at ourselves to make sure we are right with Almighty God. Because, church, it's about leaving here. Leaving here with your burdens lifted. Leaving here with a peace of mind. Leaving here in good standing with Almighty God. If there's something in your life, do it right now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow is not promised. The rest of this day is not promised to any man. The only time that you have is right now. Come right now. As we stand and sing the song of invitation, won't you come? Come unto me, I am the way, I am the love, we follow. Come unto me, you soul. Only a step, only a step. Come.
Let's bow. A kind, gracious Heavenly Father who art in heaven, we come to you humbly, Lord, thanking you so much for another day of life. Father, we thank you for a day of our health, a day to be able to get up this morning and be able to come and be able to fellowship and worship you in spirit and in truth. God, we thank you so much for protection, Father, in this time and this season, Father, to getting us through it, this pandemic. Father, that we be able to see one another, Father, be able to see our smiling faces once again, Father. We thank you for protection, God, that we can come back to a sense of normalcy. Lord, we thank you, Lord, because it's all because of you. Father, we thank you so much just for, again, another day. Father, we ask that you continue to bless those that was mentioned that were sick, Lord, that you continue, that it be thy will, Lord, that you will bring them back to their appointed health. Father, we ask that you bless those, Father, who had a desire to be here today, but could not, Father, that you continue to keep your ever-loving arms around them. Father, we ask that as we go through the remainder of our day, the remainder of this weekend, Father, that you will keep us safe. Father, we ask that you forgive us of our sins, accept our thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ, and we do pray. Amen.